Oh, aren't you thankful this morning that the goodness of God is running after you? Wow. Have to pay the choir overtime for that extra little bit I wanted to hear there. Man. I got a lot of favorite songs, but that particular song, we used to call it in the old days. We'd say, that song just slays me. All my life, you've been faithful, Lord. All my life, you've been so, so good. Your goodness is just running after me. I mean, what I found out in life is that wherever I'm running to, he's already there when I get there. He's not chasing after me. He's already where I should be when I get there. And oh, that song, my goodness. I love you, Lord. You have led me through the fire. Have you been led through the fires? Wow. Man. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of that song. I found it to be true in my life. That your faithfulness is like no one else's faithfulness. Everyone else will let me down. You will not let me down. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you that your goodness is beyond compare. There's nothing compared to your goodness. There just isn't. And the fact that somebody, you bless somebody with the ability to write those words down and put music to it so that I could weep over it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Well, I wanted to say something to Todd real quick before I get too into this message. You know, he was telling these poor young couples with those new babies up here that a quiver holds 7. And I was wondering why him and Rhonda only got 4 then. And it's not too late, I think. According to this passage, you could be 100 years old and still be having kids. I'm so thankful to be here this morning. Are you thankful to be here this morning? I am. This passage, yeah. This passage is a huge passage in the fact that it's a long passage. I think I got the short straw of the preaching team because I asked to do this sermon, and it starts in chapter 12 and ends in chapter 50. So that's 38 chapters we're about to go through. And Todd's shaking his head yes, because he knows there's no way I'm getting through all this. But let me just say this. The theme of this section of Genesis is faithfulness. It's about God being faithful, but it's also about men having faith in a God that is faithful. And out of this section comes God's choice of a nation through a man who would be faithful, who would have faith. And a nation is birthed Israel, the nation, through whom he would bless all other nations. You see, through the nation of Israel comes Jesus Christ. The lineage runs where Christ comes. And then all of the other nations are blessed because of what Christ did on a cross. Oh yeah, thank you, Willie. I'm glad you're here this morning. So glad Willie's here. He'll help me preach this. It's also the book of, in those first 11 chapters there, it's the book of that presents the beginnings of everything except God. Because God's always been. He has no beginning or end to him. He's just always been. But everything else had a beginning. Everything else has a beginning. And we've been through it. We watched as God created the universe. He created man, the beginning of the universe, beginning of the man, beginning of the Sabbath, beginning of marriage, and oh, the beginning of sin, and then sacrifice, salvation, the family, civilization, government, nations, and as we already mentioned, the chosen nation of Israel, and his covenant plan for them, so that Israel, the Israelites would be given a spiritual perspective. No other nation is given a spiritual perspective, but the Israelites are. Israel was given a spiritual perspective. They were to be the nation that Christ would come out of that lineage. What a spiritual perspective that is. And they were chosen by God. They were the chosen children of God. Inside of that, I happen to notice that Genesis shows us that the sin of man, which is early on in Genesis, is met by the intervention and the redemption of God. And I noticed that faith is introduced in Genesis. Up until now, we haven't seen men having faith. We know that Noah found favor with God, but I don't see him saying that he had faith in God. But here, he brings up Abraham. And it's interesting. Faith is the foundation. It's the foundation of our relationship with God. Faith is the foundation of the relationship that you have with God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. There's no pleasing God without faith. But with faith, you can please Him. And in Genesis 12 through 50, we see the testimonies of the four great patriarchs. These four great men that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then I put Joseph on that because he's in the passage, who walked by faith despite trials and failures and uncertainties. Their journeys teach us invaluable lessons about God's sovereignty, His grace, trusting God, trusting His promises, obeying His commands, and persevering through all kinds of challenges. None of you have ever had any challenges, have you? Say that again. None of you have ever had any challenges, have you? So their lives reveal what it means to walk by faith. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not getting through all of this. I already know that. But I will talk about the Abrahamic covenant that started with a man. Todd spoke about this last week, but if you weren't with us, Abram is talked to by God in the middle of the night, if I'm not mistaken, and told to leave his father and the land where he was at and just go. And I don't know about you, but if I'm at my dad's place and food's pretty good there and everything's pretty nice there, and I hear from God in the middle of the night, I'm like, Lord, can we talk about that for a little while before I just get up and have to go? But you know, Abraham just got up and went. That's how he was. He had faith to follow. And he followed whatever God was asking him to do. He just followed it. Now, he's not perfect. We're going to see that. But he had the faith to follow. And I just noticed that about him. There's a few things that Abraham does in his life where he doesn't wait. Get up and leave the comforts of dad's home and the land that you've lived on all your life and go somewhere. I'm not even going to tell you where. Just get up and go. And what does he do? Next morning, they're packing up. Oh, Lord, I'm packing up. I bet he was singing that while he was packing up. And I bet all the men that were with him were like, where are we going? He goes, I don't know, but God said for us to go, and he would explain it later. I'm just going. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm praying God will give me 100 men like that here at Valley Bible Church. I don't know what ministry he has for me, but I'm ready to minister. I'm ready to serve. I want to serve a God that would give his only son for me. Because I have faith that he gave me to be able to believe in that son. And the grace of God is present in your life when you get that faith. And he's the one that has to give it to you. And in that, the Abrahamic covenant comes out on that journey. And he promises three things: that you'll have great land from the river of Egypt to the Euphrates. It's a rather large section of land. That you will become a great nation. Now, that's interesting. You, one man, who have no children, are going to become a great nation. I got questions again. Lord, you do understand that I'm almost 100 years old, and my wife is almost 100 years old, and I'm amazed that we got away with telling her age. Because, you know, you can't tell a woman's age. But in the Bible, God says she was near 100 years old when he makes this promise that you're going to have a child. And you're going to have a nation is going to come out of your loins. At 100 years old. With all the medical marvels that we have today, you don't see very many women having babies at 100 years old. But God said it's going to happen. And guess what? And you're going to be greatly blessed, and you're going to bless the other nations. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and other nations will be blessed because of you. And then he ratifies it a little bit later on. I found it interesting that God tells Abraham this. Chapter 15. Verse 5. Well, let me read. I'll read it from 1. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir. Well, Lord, you forgot how old I am. Nope, doesn't say that. Look at that. And he took him outside and said, now look at this. He takes him outside and he says, look up in the sky. Look toward the heavens and count the stars if you are able to count them. Well, we already know later on in Scripture he says you can't count all of them. So just go ahead and count them as many as you want to until you fall asleep. He didn't say all that. I'm just paraphrasing. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Not you might get these descendants. You might get this number of descendants. No. So shall your descendants be. And look at the next verse, verse 6. Then Abram, says then he, but Abram believed in the Lord. He had faith in what the Lord had told him. And the Lord, and he, it says, that's the Lord, reckoned it to him as righteousness. So you notice the Lord didn't give Abraham a bunch of things to do. Right? Matter of fact, God is the one giving everything. Do you see that? Just shake your head, please. If your voice can't say amen, just shake your head at least. So God's the one who does all the work. And all you need to do, Abraham, is believe me, and these things will happen. What does that sound like to you? In our modern day, in the New Testament day, God has done all the work through Jesus Christ, His Son. And all the promises when you put faith in Jesus Christ that are yours. And guess what? All the work's been done by the Father, not by you. Don't think you come here and you can earn your way to heaven. Oh, no, 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 no. Never happen. You'll fall way, way, way short. I can promise you that because the scriptures say that. How far can you jump? No, it's by faith that you've been saved. By faith alone in Jesus Christ. And then all of the promises come. Isn't that what that sounds like? That's what it sounds like to me. When I read through this and was studying this, I kept seeing the parallels. I'm like, oh, Lord, you've done the same thing for us. I was talking to Malcolm Lee after the first service. I go, Malcolm, look at this. Look at this. God said to you, if you believe in my Son, I'll make a nation out of you. What? Oh, if you'll believe in my Son and take and keep his precepts, you got Steve Lee, your son. You got John Lee, your son. You got Mary, your son. And the countless people you ministered to at the mission who have become followers of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that's building God's kingdom, but he's done it through the men. He's done it through a man. Our pastor emeritus, Pastor Phil Howard, Dr. Phil Howard, is in our building right now. Thank you for being here, Pastor. Him and Carolyn finally got in the will of the Lord and came back home. And so it's good to have him here. But how many people do you think their lives have been affected by somebody that just says, I'll do it. I'll be faithful. I'll go. I'll go where you lead me. I'll go where you want me to go. Oh, could you say that this morning, people? Lord, you laid something on my heart. You told me I got to go work with children. I'm going next week. I'm going to be there working with children. Not, oh, man, Lord, we better think about that because I don't even know if I like kids. And you might get over there and find out that's not your ministry, but do something. Do something for him. If he gives you a promise, every promise that I have of God, except for my salvation, I have to do something. Ask and you shall receive. Right? Even the raven, he has to cry before the Lord feeds him. There's always something you do, but God's promises are true. He will do what he said he will do. You can depend on that. Now, there were some problems along Abraham's way. Because as I recall it, I think after God tells him this and he believes it, there's still about 10 years goes by before Sarah gets pregnant. It's a very long period of time. I think it was around 10 years. And so then they hatched a plan. Sarah decides, well, I wrote this passage down because I liked it so much. Chapter 16. So Sarai, which is Sarah later on, but right now it's Sarai, said to Abraham, because it's been a while, they keep waiting for this child to come, this promise to be fulfilled. And you know what the hardest thing to do sometimes is just be patient. Just wait on the Lord. Quit trying to do God's job. Wait on the Lord. So Sarai says to Abraham, now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. What a perspective. God stopped me. He's prevented it from happening. No, God has a time of when it's going to happen. And his time is not your time. Your time to be pregnant, Sarai, is not now. It'll be when God decides it's time. Please go into my maid. What a plan this is. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her. Now, here's the problem. Up until now, it's just an idea that she's hatched. This is the problem. This is the part that bothered me. That's why I wrote it down. And Abram listened to her. What happened to God making the promise? God made you the promise, not Sarai. I think after this shameful thing, they had to name her Sarah. Get away from that Sarai stuff. But you think about it, you go, well, wait a minute. You heard another voice. You listened to another voice. Church, we act according to the scriptures as a church. We don't act according to what the world says we're supposed to do. We act according to what God says we're supposed to do. You see, the problem is not that we're in the world. The problem is in when the world gets in the church. That's the problem. So, similar kind of thing. Are we going to listen to the culture tell us how we should do church? We shouldn't. There's a lot of churches doing it, though. All of a sudden, respected churches that I grew up knowing about those churches are now saying it's okay if you have a homosexual pastor in that denomination. You know it's true. You see the articles too. God forbid Valley Bible Church ever succumb to that kind of foolishness. Oh, I wish and hope that when I leave this earth, that my grandkids' grandkids could come here and say, they preach the word of God and we live by it. So they were having a little struggle with timing. They were a little frustrated by the fact that things hadn't happened like they were supposed to, at least in her way of doing. Now, they went ahead and carried out that plan because Abraham listened to her, forgot about what God told him. Although he didn't forget about it, just said, well, maybe she's right. Maybe God is going to do it this way. I think if God was going to do it that way, God would have said, I'm going to do it that way. So when you start getting your will in the way of God's will, you got problems. Because guess what? Hagar gets pregnant by Abraham, and she has this child named Ishmael. And Ishmael warred against the Israelites. There was disagreement. Guess what? In the Middle East, there's always going to be disagreement because you got those two factions. So their wonderful little, I call it carnal plan, fleshly plan, produced something that is with us from now until God comes back. Be careful what you decide to do against the promises of what God said he will do. Be careful. And even in this, God still used him. You know, God didn't go, well, you messed that up. We're not doing that anymore. No, God was true to what he said he was going to do. He stayed true to his covenant. So this whole thing, let's take that now and let's spin it to what I just talked about earlier about salvation in Jesus Christ. He did all the work. I got all the promises that he's made based off of that work. I just got to believe in it. So if you think about it, you go, well, it's the same kind of thing. God didn't change what he said he would do based off of what Abraham failed at. Nor will he change what he said he's going to do in your life, eternal life, or the righteousness of Christ. None of that changes if you sin. Does it? No, it doesn't change. God, hey, listen to this. When God saved you, when he sent his son before the foundations of the earth, decided he was going to write your name in a book, the book of life, and he sent his son to die, he knew when he saved you, you were going to do that sin. Guess what? He decided to save you anyway. Oh, while you yet hated him, he sent his son to die for you anyway. Amen? Amen. Faith, true faith, is being obedient to God's call. What has he called you to do that you're not doing? Yeah, let me look up high so I don't have to look at anybody's face. Are you serving him? He called you to serve. Are you serving? Oh, well, you know, I'm pretty busy, Pastor. No, don't tell me. Tell him. Tell him. I'm not the one died for you. I'm not the one sent my son for you. He sent his son for you. And he loved you enough to do that. So, what about your wallet? What about your wallet? He said we're supposed to give back to him. Are you doing that? Well, you know what? Our bills are pretty high. Do you have faith in God to believe that he can take care of you if you do what he said to do? Because that's what Abraham did. I'm getting up and getting out of here. I'm doing it tomorrow morning. Why? Because God said he'd take care of me. He's got somewhere for me to go. I'm just going to get there. When I'm there, he'll let me know I'm there. And he did it immediately. Now listen to this. How'd you like to have been one of his 100 guys that worked for him? We get over here in chapter 17, and God tells him, hey, you know what? I'm making a nation out of you, and the proof that you're an Israelite and the proof that you're a nation is every man needs to be circumcised. How'd you like to have been one of the 100 guys that next morning they're lining you up? Time to do a little circumcision here. And I was reminded by a brother after first service, he pulled out a really nice sharp pocket knife made out of steel, and he said, and they didn't have these then. I would have been like, wait a minute, Abraham, can you go back and talk to God? We need to find another way to show that we're Israelites. You know when he did it? Next day. He was a follower. He believed it when he heard from God that he was supposed to do what God said. Do you believe that you're supposed to do what God tells you? We just did membership interviews yesterday. You know, there's a commitment you make when you join a church. There's a commitment you have to make when you become part of the church. It's a biblical commitment. It's not our Valley Bible Church commitment that we made up. God's the one who made the commitments up. That you'll pray for this church. That you'll do everything you can to be friendly to visitors when they come through, showing them the love of Christ. That's something you're supposed to do. And if you're like, well, I don't know how that's going to help, just take it by faith that it will help. Because there's a lot of you here that's one of the things you claim. I can't believe how friendly this church was when I first came here. That's just the love of God being poured out in people. But you got all these things, and you got all these promises that he made that require that you make a step in the direction. What does he say about when you give your money? He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you. You keeping all the money, you will go bankrupt doing that. And guess what? The whole entire time you're doing it, you'll be as guilty as I'll get out for not giving to God like you're supposed to. Not Valley Bible Church. Please don't give money to Valley Bible Church. Give it to the Lord. Yeah, no, you need more clapping than that. Give your money to the Lord. Now, I said that, and Tim got really nervous, and Todd swallowed hard. That doesn't mean you shouldn't give to Valley Bible. The point is, you're giving your money. You write out a check to Valley Bible Church, and you put it in the offering. That's you giving it back to the Lord. And how important is that? Well, it's important enough that Jesus Christ talked about giving a ton when he was walking on the face of the earth. How did I get there? That's not in my notes. Where is God calling you out? Where is he calling you to step out in faith at? Where at? Where in your life is he calling you to step out in faith? Just step out. And it's like this. God, I'm not comfortable with this. You want me to preach? Lord, surely there's someone better that can do that. And I'm sure there is. But he said, no. You see, I won't leave you alone until you answer the call. You want me to teach a Sunday school class? I don't know how to teach. You want me to set up chairs? My back hurts. because you haven't been setting up chairs. You set them up long enough, you get some muscle back there, and it quits hurting. No, there's all kinds of ministry opportunities right in front of you. And he said that when he saved you to serve, to be a workman for the Lord. He has a particular gifting that he gave you. So when you have faith in the Lord, when you place faith in the Lord, there's a lot of these little things that come along with it. And he says he'll bless your life when you serve him. Let me tell you, if you've never served the Lord, you are missing out. You are missing out. Your growth in Christ has been stunted. Because I'm telling you, once you start serving him, you never look back. You just never look back. You can't imagine not serving him. Now I'm going to run out of time. None of your fault, my fault. Bit off a little too much on this particular Sunday. And here's an interesting thing. As I studied each one of these men's lives, it starts with Abraham having faith. And even when we have faith, God will sometimes test us in our faith. Not necessarily test, but put a trial in front of you. Why does God put trials in your life? Growth. That's how you grow. God, through a trial, after Isaac's born, after the promise is fulfilled and Isaac is born, can you imagine Abraham and Sarah when Sarah came to Abraham and said, "Abraham, I think I'm pregnant." I don't know what kind of party might have got thrown in that household that night. But I'm going to tell you, it was probably received with a lot of thanksgiving toward the Lord. So the promise gets fulfilled. Isaac's born. He's grown up. He's an adolescent. And God gives Abraham another visit. "Abraham, I need you to go up to this mountain. I need you to take Isaac with you. Get some wood for an altar. Take a knife with you. I need you to go up and make a sacrifice on the side of this mountain." Now, Isaac's old enough at this point to know that when you do a sacrifice, you need a lamb. So up the mountain they're going, and Isaac starts saying, hey, Dad, hey, Pops, where's the lamb?" "The Lord will provide, son. Come on. The Lord will provide." So up the mountain they go. And he ties up Isaac and puts him on that altar. And if you imagine, as he's raising a knife to plunge it into his own son, God says, "Stop. In the thicket, there's a lamb." What was he testing? He's saying, "I'm going to see if you're faithful even in this. Even though you know that this is the one that the nations are going to grow out of, will you take him up the mountain?" Because you could have said to the Lord, "No, Lord, I think this is a mistake, because you know you got to, he's the guy that's the lineage. He's got to keep that going. How are we going to have a nation like the sands of the sea and the dust of the earth without him? He's the next generation. Just take him on up there." So he does. And God provides an alternative. But do you think Abraham's faith was increased by that, or did it stay the same? Definitely increased, I would say. Absolutely increased. But now, when you go to talk about Isaac, or Jacob, or Joseph, was faith a new concept to Isaac? Do you think faith was a new concept to him? No. Why? He had lived in a household where his dad was always faithful about things, just immediately did what God asked him to do. What an example to have in your life. You have any examples like that in your life? I'm so thankful for the men in my life that responded in faith to God. They required of me that I would respond in the same way. Thank you. That man right there, our pastor emeritus, I'm not who I am today without his guidance. And I watched him be faithful. Watch my mom and dad be faithful. Watch my Aunt Hazel be faithful. Oh, there's a little nation of Howards running around. And that might freak you out. Oh, more Howards. Oh, no. There's a lot of Howards that aren't believers. There's a lot of Howards that aren't. Would to God they didn't get to know our Savior. All right, so I knew I would run out of time. So this morning, before I left my house, I summarized some things so we can talk about those, and I can try and get you out of here before 1 o'clock. Kind of a summarization. The four great people are the patriarchs. Once the nations are scattered, God focuses on one man and his descendants, through whom he will bless all the other nations. Now you understand how the other nations are blessed through the nation of Israel. Because of the lineage, Christ comes out of the Israel lineage. So if that didn't happen, we wouldn't have Christ in to bless the nations. The Gentiles would be lost, for sure. So they're going to bless the other nations. Abraham, the calling of Abraham, is the pivotal point of this book. The three covenanted promises God makes to Abraham, land, descendants, and blessings, are foundational to God's plan of bringing salvation upon the earth. You see, he didn't just, not just choosing a nation, although he did. He's got another plan in mind. That Christ is going to come. And because of that, there's going to be a salvation plan. There's going to be a gospel. There's going to be a good news. Oh, I'm here to tell you, if you don't know my Savior, I got good news for you. Your condition today is one that says if you die and leave this earth today without Christ, you're going to land in hell for eternity. Not real popular sermon topics nowadays in our world, but it is absolutely the truth. I refuse to lie to you about hell. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you haven't placed faith in him, saving faith and trust in him, and you die, you're leaving this world and you're going to spend eternity in hell. But oh, today is the day of salvation. Today, right now, it's the day of salvation. There's nothing I would want more. I don't want to see anyone go to hell. I don't. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. I want to see you all. I love to see every face when I get to heaven. Every one of you. Every one of you. Even those that I don't smile at when I walk through, I want to see you in heaven. That's why I get up here and do this. You think I do this for exercise or because I like to yell at people? You all think I'm yelling. I really am not. I just love you so much. I want to see you follow after this, Lord. Faith is foundational to God's plan of bringing salvation upon the earth. Isaac, God established his covenant with Isaac as the spiritual link between him and Abraham. Jacob, God transforms this man from selfishness to servanthood and changes his name from Jacob to Israel. And he becomes the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. You guys do know that Jacob was a conniver. He was a deceiver. And God transformed him. He changed him. He changed him from selfishness to a man that would serve. Servanthood. Guess what? When I was younger, I was as selfish as they get. And God got a hold of my life. I can't imagine not serving. Take me out of the pulpit. Take me out of the pastorate. I still got to serve him. Joseph, Jacob's favorite son, suffers at the hands of his brethren and becomes a slave to Egypt. After his dramatic rise to the rulership of Egypt, Joseph delivers his own family and his own nation again from the famine and brings them out of Canaan to Goshen. Joseph's life is a Christ-type life. It's the pivotal thing to me with Joseph is Christ came and he was betrayed by his own. He was put into court and convicted of something he did not do. And what happened in Joseph's life? Same exact thing. Accused of something he didn't do. And what does he do? He rises up out of that, from the pit to the prison to the ruler of Egypt. And at that point, he could have an effect on the lives of millions of people. Christ came to the earth, hated by men. He said there that they'll hate you because they hate me. If you believe in me and follow after me, this world will hate you. Not a great advertisement for an altar call. But oh, I'll tell you, to be hated by the world and loved by the Lord is completely worth it. Trust me. Last thing. How is God calling you to walk by faith today? Just write down your answer to this. Get a piece of paper out. If you don't do that, you'll walk out of here and forget all the questions I asked you. So you might as well answer them right now. We actually got 31 seconds. So that means I got another 10 minutes. Answer that question. How is God calling you to walk by faith today? Right now. How is he calling you? Will you step out like Abraham? Will you trust like Isaac did? Will you be transformed like Jacob? Or will you persevere like Joseph? Or will you do all three, all four? May we too walk by faith. Because we got a really faithful God. He's always faithful. And though there's been plenty of times in my life where I was unfaithful to him, he remained faithful. For he cannot do anything but be faithful. Otherwise, his character is in question. 2 Timothy 2, I think it is where that's found. That passage. May we too walk by faith, trusting in God's promises and his sovereign plan for our lives. Will you bow your head with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that you made me and the people in this room that know the Lord, you made it as simple for us as just believing you. Just believing on you and trusting that and having faith in that. Like, I don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops or do a bunch of backward somersaults or any of that. I just had to place faith in Jesus Christ. Man. It's so easy. The complexity was taken care of by you. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for an Abraham who had faith that you could set a nation up through him. And that through that nation, you would provide us a Savior. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. I pray that if someone in this room doesn't know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I just pray that today is the day of salvation, maybe for them. That they will come and see me or one of the other pastors or grab a deacon or just maybe even our Pastor Emeritus down here, and say, hey, I got a few questions about what that pastor was talking about this faith thing and Jesus dying for me, and what do I do? But I'll tell you right now where you're sitting, you don't even have to do that. You can simply say, you know what, Jesus? I believe you are who you said you are in Scripture. I believe that you were God and that you came to the earth. You still are God. That you're God and you came to the earth and you died for our sins. And by placing faith in that, you said you would forgive me. And if I would just call on your name, that I would be saved. I'm calling on your name right now, Lord. I'm calling on your name. I don't want to go to hell. I'd much rather be where you're going to be, which is in heaven. And that's the promise. That's the promise of the believer, to be absent from this body is be present with the Lord. And oh, where's my Lord and Savior at? He's at the right hand of the Father in the heavens above. That's where you're at, Lord. I pray that today will be the day of reckoning for somebody. That they will be reconciled to you today through this matchless gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the ability to be able to put our trust and faith in you. And thank you for your faithfulness to us. In our Lord and Savior's name, Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. Amen. Thank you, church.